There are a lot of special days scattered throughout the year. One of my favorite days is June 21st. I like June 21st. Sometimes June 21st comes on June 20th, and sometimes it comes on June 22nd, but you know why I like June 21st? Right, longest day of the year, the summer solstice. And I just get a kick out of noticing what is the longest day of the year, because it makes me aware that starting from there, every day after that will be a little shorter and a little shorter and a little shorter till we get to the winter time, when there's a whole lot more darkness than there is light. I like June 21st. I think it was this sense of time that was on the mind of the writer of Hebrews, at least in this section that Brent read for us this morning from the third chapter there. He seemed to be talking about, man, it's today. It's today, and you got to make use of today as long as it is today, because today isn't always here. It'll slip away from you real fast if you're not careful, if you don't watch it. What's that old saying in Latin, carpe diem? What does that mean? Pay me by the day? Is that what it means? No. It means what? Seize the day. Carpe diem. Seize the day. Why? Because it's the only day you have. While we were on vacation, I was talking to one of the owners of the property on which we were staying, and I'm talking to him by phone, and I said, how you doing? And he said, great. Greatest day of my life. But actually, he just told me that the day before, and his point, he was saying, yeah, because it's the only day I have. It's the greatest day of my life. What a great attitude. What a wonderful attitude to have. Because you have to seize the day. If you don't have daylight, there's a whole lot that you can't do. Well, you know, that's a little bit lost on us because we got lights. We got modern means to turn the night into day if we want to. I noticed down on Mount Hermon Road, there's this thing for sale along there by the railroad tracks. It's a portable light. You can turn on that thing at night, have a generator running, and just have a huge floodlight. I've seen the highway workers using it at night, haven't you? Almost blind you when you come up there. They're working at night because they brought their own light with them. But throughout the course of human history, that's not been the case. When nighttime came, no work could be done because there just weren't those sources of light to be had. While I was on vacation, I was reading a couple of books about the Civil War, and several times it was talking about this battle or that battle, but it finally fizzled out and quit because nighttime came. They couldn't fight in the dark. So the light is very, very important. And the Bible picks up on that. It does in Hebrews here. It does in the book of Job. He talks many times about how death and darkness are together in the absence of light. It's in Job. It's in the book of John. It's in the letters of John. And this opposition of light to darkness, and almost this battle taking place between the forces of light and good and the forces of darkness and evil. And which one's going to win? It's there in the Bible time and time again. And it's here. The verse I want to concentrate on for a few moments this morning is verse 13. Hebrews 3:13. But encourage one another daily as long as it is called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. Seize the day. Right now, it's day for you and me in many different ways. Right now, it's the day of just our existence. You are alive, aren't you? You are alive, and you still have chances at life. You still have time to do things and be the person that God wants you to be. But how many more todays do you have? You have no idea. Every once in a while, we'll get stunned by the news that somebody famous has died, and it surprises us. Last year, wasn't it Heath Ledger? The young man, only 28 years old, fantastic movie star, very capable, talented actor, probably making millions of dollars in the prime of life. All of a sudden, we find out Heath Ledger dead. Past couple weeks, hey, he was 50 years old. To some people, that's a young man. To some people, that's an old man. But who dies suddenly? Michael Jackson. Guy worth millions. Yeah, he owes millions too. But man, he's got life, doesn't he? And suddenly, it's gone. And you could just go and repeat it over and over again with famous people. Here one day and gone the next. Now, none of us has any idea when the darkness is going to come, if it's the darkness of death, and take us away, and we don't have any more light. But right now, you've got it. You've got the light of your existence. You have a today. We ought to listen to the Bible here. Encourage one another to, as long as it's called today, to hang in there. Not be hardened by sin's deceitfulness, because sin can fool you in a lot of different ways. But have your eyes wide open. Know who you are. Know who you belong to. Know what your purpose is in life. And there's a whole lot of us that haven't discovered that yet. We still wonder what we want to be when we grow up. And Jesus keeps on trying to give us his light and his definition and say, would you be my people, my person, where you are, where I have you, and be the light of the world in your workplace or your school or your home and family? Yeah, you're surrounded by a lot of darkness. You sure are. But I want you to shine your light so that people can at least have some light in the world and know about me. Also, how else might we realize that we are living in the daylight? How are the Christians in Hebrews about to experience or were experiencing the darkness? The book of Hebrews was written, the author was either anticipating persecution that was about to come to the church, or else they were right in the middle of it. And time again, in many different ways, he's trying to say to them, don't fall away. Hang in there. Be faithful. And he gives a lot of different arguments and reasons and emotional offerings to them about why they ought to hang in there. Persecution was coming. The government and all the social forces around them didn't want them to be followers of Jesus Christ. Wanted to cut them off from the Christian faith and say, that's not right. That's terrible. You quit being a Christian or we're going to take away your job. You quit being a Christian, we're going to burn your house down. We'll kill you and all your family too. The government got in on it as well. How about today? Do we live in the light or do we live in the darkness? What's our government's attitude toward our faith? Pretty good, isn't it? Wonderful, isn't it? If we in this place of worship were suddenly to be bothered by some mean or ugly people who barged in and wanted to bother us, we have a government that would step in and say, hey, leave those people alone. They have the freedom to worship, freedom to assemble. You can't bother that. Get out of here. We'd appreciate our government very, very much because it might be indifferent to what we are doing, but actually it is allowing us to live in the light of whatever understanding of God we have and whatever way of worshiping that we want to celebrate together. Our government says, fine, just don't break the law. Don't hurt anybody in the process. We have wonderful light to live in today. Do we pay any taxes as a church? Not a one. Not a one. And yet if our building had a need, if it was burning down or something like that, a government agency would come and help and put out the fire. Boy, we are blessed in so many ways to live in the light. There's no state church. There's no court or governor. There's no governing authority telling us what we can or cannot do, can or cannot believe, can or cannot teach. Oh man, the light is so bright in America today. And we ought to be happy about that. Of course, with freedom comes the freedom to be apathetic about God, not care. And there's plenty of people who are exercising that right today. I'm sorry that they do, because they're missing the light. But it's not the government's job to shine the light. It's your job and mine. And if they see it, they'll see it because we're letting the light of Jesus really be at work in the world today. Well, I would just praise God, not only for the light of our existence, I would praise God for the fact that we're not persecuted today. We don't live in dark times in our society either. Our society in general is happy just to let us live and let live and say, hey, that's what you want to believe? Great, go ahead and do it. But I don't have to believe it. And we agree. We agree 100%. So I might look upon, say, the Jewish folks and saying, well, they've got a good understanding of God, but it doesn't go far enough because it misses a whole lot by missing the Messiah, Jesus Christ. And I might look upon the Jehovah's Witnesses and say, oh, gosh, they've got so many things that are distorted in their faith and they don't have right. Or I might look upon the Mormons and think that their theology is terribly wrong, even though their moral life might be very, very good. But there's no way I want to coerce any of them to believe as I do. And a live and let live attitude is a wonderful thing to have. Beautiful daylight in our land today. It is daylight for us as Christians today also because we have tremendous access to a lot of ways to learn about the things of God. I mean, we have all sorts of Bible studies. We have our Bibles that we can read in our own language, which is wonderful. Then we have so many study guides and lessons and resources, printed things. And then the internet, as much as the internet is a cause for a lot of mischief and trouble and bad stuff, it is also a source for a lot of Christian things, a lot of study materials, a lot of Bible resources that can enlighten us about the Word of God. Why do they call the dark ages of history the dark ages? Because there wasn't much light. Because there wasn't much learning. Because the only people who could read the Bibles were the very educated folks who could read Latin. And the common folks, if they could read at all, couldn't read Latin. They couldn't read the Bible in their own language. So the truth and the word was all filtered through the few who could read and understand. Is that the way it is today? Man, our access to the truth and the Word of God is wide open. You're living in the light. Are you using the light to learn more about the ways of God and what He wants you to do? I hope so. I hope so. I hope you're living in the light of learning every day. You've got that opportunity today. Will you have it tomorrow? I don't know. But you've got it today. Then there's the light of having an opportunity to serve the Lord. You do have some energy left, don't you? You are alive. You are able to do things. There may come a day when you don't have that ability. People, you can lose your eyesight. You can lose your hearing. You can lose your mobility, your ability to be able to get around. You can just lose your strength. You can lose your voice. The ability to be able to speak, those are terrible, terrible losses. But if you've got those things today, you've got the light of your gifts and your abilities. Are you using them to speak for Jesus, just share His love, to teach His word, to lend a hand to a neighbor who needs some kind of help? To love while you can love, to serve while you can serve, to go while you can go, to give while you can give. There's an old hymn that says, work for the night is coming, work through the sunny noon, work, keep on working, because the day will come when no work is done, when the night comes. You know, before 1949, mainland China was open to the gospel. There were a lot of missionaries in China before 1949, for many decades before that. Lottie Moon was a good example of a missionary in Africa, and there were many others who were sharing the love of Jesus Christ on the mainland of China. But in 1949, what happened? Mao Zedong and the communists took over, shut things down completely, and all the missionaries were kicked out. They said, go home, get out of here. And a deep darkness descended upon China. Now, for the longest time, the Western churches were in the dark as to what was going on in China. They had shared the gospel while they were there, but now suddenly they're cut off. Would there be any faith at all? What was happening with the believers there? Was anything going on, or were they all completely wiped out? May have just been a paltry million out of those many, many millions of people there in 1949. But after it was a couple of decades ago that China opened up, and we were able to be aware and go back in and be aware of the Christian church. And what did we find out? In those decades when there were no missionaries, when the light was there, the light shined, and Christians in China got it. They got the light, and they shared the light, and it was hard in the great darkness of totalitarian communism. But the church grew, and the church grew into many, many millions of people. And today there is a strong presence in China of Christian believers, still a minority of all the billion Chinese that there are, but the church grew strong. What if, while it was light before 1949, there had been no missionaries? Nobody had gone and shared Christ. Nobody had shined the light for people there. The darkness would have been pervasive. But while that opportunity was there, as long as it was today, they let their light shine. There is a danger in our Christian lives and in our Christian service that we might think, well, this is always the way it's going to be. We're always going to have the light. We're always going to have today. There will always be opportunity to serve the Lord. The Bible reminds us, Today turns into a tomorrow which it ain't there. So all you have is today. The Lord won't keep things wide open. The ability to plant is right now. The ability to receive blessings is right now. If you can waste daylight. If you sleep till noon, you're probably a teenager, right? I did it plenty of times when I was a teenager. The older I got, the more I realized, man, I sure have wasted a lot of the day. And I'd work on getting up earlier and earlier. And I now can hardly stand to waste any daylight at all. And about the time it's getting dark, especially here in the summer, I'm waking up and thinking, I got a lot to do, a lot I need to do. I need to get up and get going. Because there's only a certain number of hours in the day. You know, the older you get, the smarter you get, that is the way it is. Jesus told us a story about the three servants, and each of them were given money. And the master said, now you go out and use that money. All right, I want you to use it, make it multiply, and return it to me in a productive way. Two of them went out and did exactly that. As it was today, and they had the opportunity, they went out and used that money in creative ways and brought it back to the master. The master yelled at the third servant, why? Because all he did was bury that money, and he didn't do anything with it. And the master said, time's up. Give me an accounting. The first two did great with the days that they had. The last one blew it. Just blew it. And he had to bring before the master just what he'd been given. And boy, was the master angry. I gave this to you. I meant for you to use it. You wasted the time. You wasted my money. You wasted my time. Boy, am I mad. You want God mad at you? I don't. Don't waste today. Don't even bother thinking about tomorrow. Don't waste today. Because you got the light today. Lights of all different kinds. And you don't know about tomorrow. You've got the light of your existence. You've got the light of your freedoms. You've got the light of your strengths and abilities. You've got the light of your opportunities. And you only have them today. Let's add verse 14 in chapter 3 here too. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence that we had at first. Hang on. Brothers and sisters, hang on to today. Let's live life in such a way that we have no regrets, that we can stand before God and said, well, I couldn't do everything, but with the time I had, I used it to the best of my ability. No, there was no way I could save the world. That's Jesus' job, not yours. But Lord, I used every today you gave me to do the best that I possibly could. You know what God will say? I know your limitations. But I saw what you did with what you have. Well done. Well done. I want to hear that from God today and every today I have. How about you? You know, we give opportunity for people to share their faith. How many times have you heard that? And have you been putting it off and saying, well, there's always the next time. Well, there's always the time after that. I'll get around to it. Yeah, I'll share my faith in Christ. I'll let that be known. Or I'll jump in. I'll be baptized someday. Yeah, I'll be part of a church family someday. You realize how that someday may not be there for you. Why not today?